are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here on the Locked On Big 12 Podcast. It is August 23rd, 2021. For those of you listening to this podcast on Spotify or Apple, wherever, we're starting to do them on YouTube, so you can follow us. Go find Locked On Big 12 on YouTube. So if you hear reference to me spilling water on myself, that is why people can see it. I know the audio version is not a visual medium, but yeah, getting used to doing the YouTube stuff. So it's a bit different. The audio might sound a little bit choppier just because I'm trying to make sure things on the video end are better. The audio quality is great, but just kind of my delivery and whatnot. Still trying to work out, being on there. And being on YouTube, being on screen a bunch. Face for radio, as they say. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. I'll explain everything going on. Power rankings today and news that Gary Bohannon is going to be the starting quarterback for the Baylor Bears. We'll talk about that stuff and more on today's show. Hope you all enjoy. Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Today it is Monday, August 23rd, 2021. On the show today, a couple of items for you all. First, we're going to start off with the news that Gary Bohannon has been selected as the starting quarterback for the Baylor Bears. And then we're going to talk about another power ranking that I have made, the 10 best games across the entire country in week one of college football. That is going to be coming up here in the second part of the show. First things first, make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's at LOBig12. You can follow me at @JoshNeighbors_. All right, let's get into it today. First piece of news, as I said, is the fact that Gary Bohannon has been named the starter. And I'm going to read from Kendall Cout here, our Daily Bears guest in the podcast a couple times. So obviously like to promote what they've got going on over there. But he says, after a long offseason battle, Baylor has named Gary Bohannon the starting quarterback. It's his fourth year in the program. He was an Arkansas commit and then from Arkansas, then committed to Baylor. And this was a battle that was between both him and also Jacob Zeno, most notably, felt like the one that really had the chance to win the job. Obviously, the other guys involved, but it felt like those two really were the two main competitors. And I think what this job comes down to is stability, because this program last year, and we've talked about it a whole lot, but in case you're just newer to the show, Baylor was a program last year, but we've really harped on how bad their offensive line and how bad it was, I should say, and how that really set back both their offense and their defense, because having a bad O-line puts your offense in bad positions. It puts your defense in bad positions as well, and Baylor's offense and defense were in a lot of bad positions. Baylor's defense performed a lot better. Their offense struggled to get things going. Obviously, there was a parting of ways. Connor Brewer is now elsewhere, right? He is now over at Utah, right? So, or Charlie Brewer, Charlie Brewer is over at Utah. Michael Brewer, his brother used to be at Virginia Tech. So Charlie Brewer is now at Utah, and he struggled last year. So Baylor is now trying to move on from that situation, right? And they're moving on from, an offensive coordinator and bringing in Jeff Grimes. And I've said this a lot too. I love how introspective Dave Aranda, their head coach over at Baylor, always is about what he has to do better, what his staff needs to do better. And it's a guy that I think we all really want to succeed. Now, can they get it done is the big question. And I don't like their chances this year. But I think stability, once again, has to be the name of the game at that position, because for them, they just need somebody that's going to take care of the football so they can really see what their offense is going to look like. And Gary Bohannon, once again, fourth year on campus, but still, technically, because he gets the extra year, got some eligibility left with the Bears. And he's just not a guy who's played a whole lot, but they must feel like he gives them the best chance to win at quarterback, at least to be solid at that position, because you've seen what Jacob Zeno has been able to do at the quarterback spot. He's had some moments of sheer brilliance in the past, but for him, it's just that consistency too. For him, it feels like he's got a difficult time putting it together. I think we all remember those moments that he had, various times in 2019, but it really, we have not seen that consistently And we did not see that in the spring game. We didn't really see it from Bohannon either. But he gets the nod to be the quarterback. And so Baylor will have him get that start. And we'll go from there. Luckily for them, their non-conference schedule is not too difficult. They have a chance to ease their way into the season. They play at Texas State, Texas Southern, and at KU. So even though two of their first three games are on the road, they're at, you know, they're against Texas State, who as much as like Jake Spavital, it's a program that, you know, is still trying to build and is trying to find their identity. And then obviously KU on the road is not a game, as much as I love Lance Leipold, is not really a game that you think you should have too much trouble with. Although we'll see what KU can do, but I'm pretty skeptical considering the lack of spring work that Kansas actually got this season. So we'll see how those things go for Baylor, but a chance legitimately for them to go 3-0 before it's Oklahoma State, it's Iowa State at Oklahoma State, West Virginia, BYU, Texas. So the role for them is going to be really difficult. I don't think this team's going to make a bowl game this year, but at least at this moment, they've found their quarterback. Gary Bohannon's going to be the guy. We'll see where they go from here. All right, I've got my top 10 non-conference games, or not, well, just any games in general, of week one coming up here. I've power ranked them. And I'll get to those in a second, but first, a word from our sponsors here on today's show. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by all of our friends. We've got some new ones we'd like to shout out, but some of our old friends here too. We've got Sweatblock today sponsoring the show. And if you're like me, and this was me this weekend, my friends, I had a wedding. My brother got married this weekend. I was best man. Now, Richmond, Virginia is not as hot as a lot of Big 12 country is. I will be very honest about that. But that being said, it is still incredibly muggy. And taking pictures outside this weekend was very difficult. But what helped me out in my tuxedo was Sweatblock. And it'll help you out as well. It's doctor created, doctor recommended. There's Sweatblock wipes that work up, for up to 7 days per use. They have a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. It was featured and tested on The Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. It's a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years with over 13,000 views or reviews rather, manufactured in the good old US of A. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON Locked On, or at Amazon or CVS. Drink water there in the Richmond Flying Squirrels Cup. Drip some of myself. We're off to a hot start. It's such a Monday. People, I mean, I'm sure a lot of you, you know, if you've ever had family who've gotten married, you all know how exhausting the process was. This weekend was just, I mean, absolutely incredibly exhausting. All right, though, I've got this top 10 list. I've actually kind of been sitting on this list for a little while now, and I'm really excited that we finally get to it. And so what I've done is I power ranked the 10 most exciting non-conference games. They're all basically non-conference. Well, actually, not all of them are. I've power ranked the 10 most exciting games, my favorite games, however you want to put it, from week one. I know we have week zero coming up, but I'm looking ahead to week one. I thought this would be a fun power ranking to do. A couple Big 12 selections in there, but let's look at my power rankings for week one because we've got so many good games and some conference games, not in our conference in the Big 12, but across the country. So here's what you have to look forward to. At number 10, Thursday at 8 p.m. on Fox, you've got number 4 Ohio State and Minnesota. Minnesota, last time I checked, 13.5-point dogs. The big question is, who's going to be the quarterback for Ohio State when they open up their season? Gary Bohannon was not – it was surprising, but not shocking to see him as a quarterback. We're not going to see Quinn Ewers. That would be a shock if we saw him at quarterback. But C.J. Stroud looks to be the guy. And I'm just curious in this game as it pertains to the points. How long will it take for Ohio State to get their legs under them? You think about, replacing that quarterback position and what it means. And they're going to go up against a Minnesota team that's returning 18 starters. Now, There are a lot of teams that are returning a lot of starters, especially due to the transfer rules. But Minnesota, 18, and a lot of guys that we know, you know, at quarterback, at running back, some at wide receiver, a little bit wide receiver on defense. They've just got a whole lot of experience on that team. So I think that could give Ohio State some trouble early, but eventually you think the quality of Master Teague and Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave went out on offense because those guys are just next level athletes compared, you know, to be honest, compared to the guys who are across the way, you know, that they've got at Minnesota. So this is one of those games that could be squirrely early, I think, in a way. And then Ohio State takes over late. I'm not going to make my picks now, but just thinking about those lines. Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. It's Boise State at UCF. Neither of these teams are ranked in the preseason AP poll. UCF is a four-point home favorite. The big storyline here in this game is Gus Malzahn coaching his first game, you know, with his new team at UCF. And he's got a chance to be really good there. The question is, if he does really well there, will he want to move on somewhere else? But I think Gus is going to thrive in that spot. They've got Dylan Gabriel at quarterback, who's got a lot to prove. Brand Johnson is a new wide receiver weapon, who ironically is another one of those grad transfers from Tennessee. But you think about the fact that, you know, Josh Heupel goes from UCF to Tennessee and Brand Johnson goes from Tennessee to UCF. Last year, they had the number 8 scoring offense, the number 2 total offense in the entire country. Now, I know last year was a weird year, and then the AAC, and they had Josh Heupel. Can they maintain those things? They don't have to quite achieve that level they had last year. They do. I think their calling card is going to be their offense. And for Boise, you know, new coach, Andy Avalos is there after Brian Harsin heads to Auburn. Boise's got 18 starters returning, and this game is another example of one between two teams that could be challenging, especially for UCF. They want to challenge Cincinnati in the American Athletic Conference. It's important for them to get off to a good start. And really, I know it's those G5 teams really want to start staking their claim as the best G5 team. Do either of these teams have that outside playoff shot that we always talk about? Not really. I think that one just solely lays on Cincinnati at this point, just with where they're positioned preseason and the fact that they get to play, you know, in the end, they'll probably end up playing 3 or 4 ranked teams. I mean, if they go and beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and they also beat Indiana as well, you've got to think that team is going to deserve a shot at the playoff. I know people aren't believing that, but they're on the table with those two wins. Denying them at that point, it would be ridiculous to me. What Clemson all the time, their schedule is littered with pretty crappy ACC teams. So, you know, I think Cincinnati is a team that's got the best shot at that, but these two teams, especially UCF, because they're eventually get to play Cincinnati, really have a shot to contend in that category, in that G5 realm. Sunday, 7:30, ABC, it's Notre Dame and FSU. FSU are 8-point dogs. Notre Dame comes at number 9. So here's what I'll say about this game. Notre Dame is a better team. Jack Cohn is their quarterback. I've never once watched Jack Cohn game and thought he was good. Never did. Just not a fan of him. And for Notre Dame to have to go on the road in this situation after they're replacing so much on offense, they're going to try to run that ball. That's really what they're going to do. And, you know, for them, Notre Dame, you know, once again, the ACC part of this is also a subplot too. But their schedule is so brutal this year. So getting off to a good start is really important. In the night game at Doe Campbell, I mean, you know, I'm not saying they're going to lose, but 8 points for a team, you know, catching a lot. I mean, that's we saw how tough that environment could be last year. I know FSU, they allowed 29 sacks in 9 games last year. Things won't get better for them until they prepare that offensive line. Totally understand. But I do think there is a chance they start to make some strides and they could keep this game close, especially because they're at home and, you know, you've got Jack Cohn in a rough environment. I know they're going to want to make things on him as easy as possible. But I do think that Notre Dame eventually wins this game, but it's not an easy place to start off. Friday, 6 o'clock on ESPN. These are all Eastern time. Number 10 at UNC at Virginia Tech. This atmosphere is going to be great. It's a night game. It's a conference game between those two teams who share a lot of recruiting ground. They share a lot of, obviously, you know, in the same division. UNC lost roughly 2,400 yards and 28 TDs rushing and 2,400 yards and 19 receiving touchdowns to the NFL last year from all the guys, the collection of wide receivers and running backs they lost. So the question is, you know, can Sam Howell be that version of Sam Howell where he starts to bring the guys along? Yeah, UNC's got a lot of talent there. And if you want to hear about how much talent they've got, Candace Cooper over at Locked On ACC and Locked On Tar Heels will give you the full lowdown. Nobody knows the Tar Heels better than her. But I do think, you know, this is one of those games where, look, this if you want to play UNC, this is the time to play them, right? This is the time to play Sam Howell. The newer group of guys are trying to turn things over. And Virginia Tech, this is Justin Fuente, a season that he's absolutely got to start off on the right foot because we've seen things unravel for them before. We've seen them get thumped by Duke at home, right? They've lost to Liberty and Old Dominion and Virginia. And so now it's time for them to turn the page. Justin Fuente, he's fighting for his job here. And Tech, after, you know, I think trying to be a financially responsible for a year, they know that, you know, and Whip Babcock has just gotten an extension too. So they're pretty comfortable with him there at Tech. But it's the heat is on. And I think Justin Fuente knows that. So I think it's a really interesting game to start off the year. It's Saturday, 12 o'clock on Fox, number 19, Penn State, number 12, Wisconsin. Penn State's strength is their depth in the backfield. They've got a really inexperienced wide receiving core. They've got a whole lot of guys that are strong at running back. And also quarterback Sean Clifford, they got a guy who's got some experience. With Graham Mertz, a quarterback for Wisconsin, they're going to look to be more explosive this year in offense than they were last year. Both these teams are returning a lot from what were top 20 defenses last year, Wisconsin more so. So I think you're looking at one of those lower scoring games. I have plus 4.5. I think Wisconsin, they're 4.5 point favorites at home. This can be a close, low scoring game. So if you thought Penn State's going to backdoor, I don't necessarily disagree with you in that situation, but another one of those games I really like. All right, one more break in the action before we get to the top five. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by our friends from Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com today. Check out all of the amazing flavors that they have right now. If you go to Built Bar, they've got, I believe, 10 it is out right now. And there really is something for everybody. If you hate chocolate, I mean, you know, some people can't eat it. I understand that. But if you can't eat chocolate and you don't like it, I don't know what's wrong with you. They've got coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. Like I said, something for everybody. 17 to 18 grams of protein, between 150 and 180 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. Go to built.com today. That's built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off on your first purchase at built.com. Today's show is also brought to you by betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is the best place for all of your sports gaming needs. Go to BetOnline right now. They've got their $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 survivor contest open right now at betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag today. Get 100% deposit bonus as well. BetOnline, they're your online sportsbook experts. All right, 3:30 on Fox, number 17, Indiana, number 18, Iowa. This one is in Iowa City, number 5 ranked game for me. Iowa, 4-point favorites. Indiana overachieved last year considering the circumstances and now a chance to take the next step. Kind of almost like a Big Ten's version of Iowa State, if you will. Not really positioned as well, but they have the quarterback back, the coach is back, a lot of the team is back. And so they're going to be in a good position to kind of build and grow in that spot thanks to that extra year, that transfer rule. Top 10 defense for Iowa that returns 7 guys. The key is, can they hold the Indiana offense down that likes to spread it out some? Iowa needs to stay ahead in this game. You don't think Iowa is going to be a team that can really play from behind. They will be at home. So their job is to slow things down and really play a classic Iowa football game at home. Number 4, Saturday, 3:30, ABC. Number 1, Alabama. Number 14, Miami. Miami, 18.5-point dogs in this game. This one sells itself. Do I need to sell you guys on the maybe the most exciting player in college football and De'Ara King going up against Alabama? No, I don't have to. It's exciting. So many questions for Bama. Does Miami take a next step? I think despite the fact that a lot of people think this game might be a blowout, still a lot of intrigue there. Number 3, this is an interesting one. This one's at 8:30 on Fox. Kind of counter-programming the Clemson ABC game, but it's number 16 LSU at UCLA. UCLA getting 3.5 points. People might laugh at this game being number three, but stick with me here. LSU might be in a position to fill the void that Alabama leaves in the SEC West if Alabama does in fact take a step back. UCLA might have their most talented group under Chip Kelly. The line reflects that this game could be a very competitive one, and it's huge for each team, obviously, to get off to a good start. A win for UCLA here, and that establishes them in the Pac-12 as saying, hey, we are organized, we are ready, and Chip Kelly's vision is beginning to come to pass. Obviously, I think of a win probably involves a lot of DTR reaching that potential that we think he has. For LSU, obviously, you know, having quarterback go down in fall camp is very difficult, but they have some backup with Max Johnson still there and available. And this is a really talented LSU group. For them, a win on the road against what is going to be a, I think, prepared and ready UCLA group, that would show a lot and give them some confidence moving forward. So I think both these teams, a lot's at stake, and also a loss might, you know, and I know it's tough to say week one. I mean, UCLA can afford the loss a bit more than LSU can, because if LSU wants to kind of think about maybe contending in the SEC West, sure, it's not a conference game, but for your confidence going into the conference, you know, it seems like LSU is probably going to get tripped up at least once in conference play, and getting tripped up in non-conference might give you some hesitancy moving forward. Saturday, 4:30 on Fox, you've got ULL and number 21, Texas. This one's number two because it's Texas, and the injury is so high, and the pressure is on Steve Sarkisian from the beginning. And this is also a really great Louisiana team heading in there. I know there's good ranked matchups all over the place, but you want to talk about the storyline coming out of the weekend that could be number two besides whatever happens in Clemson and Georgia. If Louisiana goes in there and beats Texas, a couple things happen. Number one, first and foremost, you've got the fact that everything on the Texas side will go back to what we're usually used to hearing, right? Panic from all of those people who are in the kind of Texas circle, right? We hear about how many, there's always too many cooks in the kitchen at Texas. You know, that kind of environment is going to heat up. And Steve Sarkisian, I don't think he should really be assessed this early at all, just what's going on, especially because you're seeing right now this quarterback battle. He still doesn't have a guy. And that just shows you that, you know, until he can really bring in his guys, it's not really fair to assess Sark in a really sober and a way that feels like, you know, basically that's fair, right? It does not feel fair to do so yet. For Louisiana, their schedule is not good, generally speaking. They get cracks at Texas on the road. They get Georgia Southern on the road, is decent. App at home, and then Liberty on the road. They've got a chance to run the table. And I mentioned earlier UCF and Boise. UCF feels like the other team that, you know, that's got the G5 kind of spot. Liberty's schedule is too weak. This schedule here for ULL is not strong enough. And I know it's weird to talk playoff, but this, I'm just saying, like, that's the kind of win that if you go 12-13-0, you know, you've got a case, and maybe not this season, but down the road, a playoff scenario that would put them in position to potentially be a playoff team. Wins over Texas, App, Liberty, and Liberty is out of conference. So shout out to ULL. I mean, they scheduled the Liberty game probably in advance, but playing Liberty is a challenge. It's probably going to be a ranked team at that time of the season. On the road against Texas, challenge. You've got App and conference. If they go 13-0, win their conference with those wins, maybe in the new playoff format, they could find their way in. This year, I don't think so, but I do think kind of setting up the G5s, right? And we all saw this year with Iowa State, but last year with Iowa State when they played against ULL and lost week one. So we'll see. I think Texas wins, but they're 9.5-point favorites at home. It's a really good team in Louisiana, Billy Napier coming in there. Number one, 7:30, ABC, Clemson, number three in the country. UGA, number five in the country preseason. It's going down in Charlotte. If I had my druthers and I was ranking the teams, I would have put Oklahoma number one preseason, Georgia number two. I would have put Clemson number three and Alabama number four. Here is why. Alabama's number one really just off cachet. if we're talking about who are the best returning teams in the country, it's Oklahoma and Georgia. What they're bringing back from last year's teams, that is the best remaining stuff. And you add in great recruiting classes for both. So I think Georgia plus the points, I know that they're having a rash of injuries right now, which has been, you know, really tough to have at this point in time. But yeah, they're dealing with at least two guys ailing right now. So they've got to take care of themselves, get to this game. But Clemson versus Georgia is must-see television. Georgia, you know, we talk about these games maybe able to afford a loss, but think about it. You're going to have to play a schedule where you play in the SEC, and, you know, Clemson can afford this loss because, look, they can just go on the run and win all the rest of the games. I mean, they're not going to be that significantly challenged with their schedule this year. It's just not going to happen. Georgia needs to win this game more because of their schedule, because there's more opportunities to trip up, and because there's only four playoff spots. Yes, they're in the SEC, and it's going to give them a leg up, but, you know, they could be 10-3, right? And, you know, that could happen. And would they get at that point? You know, 11-2. At 11-2, they're getting in. But 10-3, you know, and they could lose two SEC games and still make it. So I think for them it's more important to get off to a good start. If they're SEC champions, they're probably in. But for them, just with so many high-profile games, a win against Clemson in your back pocket, it buys you a loss later in the season is what it does. You can basically purchase, you know, you can just take cross off a loss and say, all right, you know, Georgia fans can say, all right, we're 4-0, 5-0 this time or whatever it is, you know, and just say, all right, rest of the way, I'll even hand us a loss. You know what I mean? Let's just say we go 6-1 in the end. We're still fine and good to go. Yeah. I mean, that's why this game is so big. It sets Georgia up perfectly the rest of the way. Clemson wins, same thing too. I mean, because that puts a loss in their back pocket. So if they want to, you know, F around in one of their games and drop it, they'll be fine at that point if they do. But yeah, a lot in the line. So excited to see DJ Uiagalelei against this Georgia defense that's so good at keeping everything in front of them and plays aggressive on the outside. It's a great coaching matchup. Obviously, Munkin versus Venables, you know, Kirby Smart and Dabo, but it's really not, they're not really going to score, you know, head to head in some capacities. I think that Munkin versus Venables matchup is the one that really everybody wants to see. And that Georgia offense was doing excellent towards the back end of last year. Obviously, you know, they know George Pickens as they move forward, but still, it's really exciting to think about what they could. Now, I know Arik Gilbert's not with the team or did leave the team. Not sure about his status now. So they do have some moving parts, but everybody at SEC Media Days was just talking about how confident Kirby Smart was and how great he feels about this group. And it's probably his best group that he's got. So that's why I put it like that. Here, we'll run through it one more time. Number 10, it is Ohio State at Minnesota. Number 9, Boise at UCF. Number 8, Notre Dame, FSU. Number 7, UNC, Virginia Tech. Number 6, Penn State at Wisconsin. Number 5, Indiana at Iowa. Number 4, Alabama against Miami. Number 3 is LSU, UCLA. Number 2, ULL and Texas. Number 1 is Clemson versus Georgia. All right, that will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It is at LOBig12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. Until next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.